Saudi plans with regard to Qatar fail. Rumours abound that the Saudis are planning to dig a large canal in the north of the country, which will turn Qatar from a peninsula into an island. Saudi Arabia media report that private investors from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates will finance the state-ordered construction of the canal on Arabian territory. The canal would be designed to separate Qatar from the Arabian Peninsula and thereby, in their opinion, emphasised the outcast nature of the Qatari government. According to the Saudi royal advisor, Saud al-Ghahtani, the 60-kilometre-long channel, given the name of Selva, is planned as a natural state border which, in addition to the official one, will pass through Saudi territory 1 kilometre from the Saudi-Qatar border. Interestingly enough, a new Saudi military base will be built in the same area. The project will be implemented in the course of the year. It's estimated to cost about $750 million. The last part of the interview given by the royal advisor to the Mecca newspaper is highly interesting. Saudi royal advisor Saud al-Ghahtani said, "Is Riyadh's decision to create the island of Selva against international law? Does Saudi Arabia have the right to build a military base and store radioactive waste in that area?" Of course it does. There is the sovereign right of the kingdom. By the way, we may recall how the United States of America pressed many countries to impose spiteful sanctions on Iran only for its desire to develop peaceful nuclear energy. But now, the Saudi royal advisor is calmly telling us about Saudi Arabia's radioactive waste. Where have they got it from, may I ask? And the country's plan to store this waste not in the famous Rub al-Khali desert, but in a densely populated region on the border with the so-called rebellious Qatar. So, what do we have here? The so-called democratic United States government, aided by its aggressive statute, establishes a double morality and makes its own laws. Whilst imposing spiteful sanctions against Iran and its people, it has no problem with the nuclear plans of its Saudi Arabian vassal. In this regard, there have been interesting reports from the Western press concerning the nuclear-armed usurper Israeli regime, which is secretly helping Saudi scientists and its military to create a nuclear bomb. As the saying goes, there's no smoke without fire. According to senior officials of the Israeli military organization, IHLS, the Israeli regime began selling information to Saudi Arabia concerning the development of nuclear weapons. Ami Doron, a senior expert on nuclear weapons, made the statement in view of the growing possibility of a nuclear arms race in the region. It should be noted that IHLS is partly funded by the US corporation Raytheon, which manufactures weaponry. It should be noted that IHLS is partly funded by the US corporation Raytheon, which manufactures weaponry. Cooperation in the development of a nuclear weapon program shows a growing improvement in the relations between the Zionist regime of Israel and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The Saudis are currently on the threshold of developing their own frequently mentioned nuclear program, and for this purpose want to acquire 18 nuclear reactors. Questions arise as to whether Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman places enough trust in his project and contacts with those involved in the implementation of the Saudi nuclear project. It seems that in order to compensate for the loss of time, Saudi Arabia is calling on international experience to help train its national scientific nuclear personnel, even the experience of its presumed enemy, Israel. Once again, this allows us to question whether the US ban on the creation of any military nuclear program whatsoever has really given a crack in the wall. But let us return to the Arabian Peninsula. It seems like yesterday that the Saudi king and Qatari emir were the best friends, and now they're hardened enemies. According to tradition, Saudi Arabia is considered the elder sister of the smaller countries of the Arabian Peninsula, which is actually considered the Arabs' homeland. Riyadh is still trying to have a command over all other Arab countries, but times have changed. If earlier only Saudi Arabia produced the oil which brought it huge revenues, now other countries of the Arabian Peninsula have their own good sources of income. Qatar, for example, successfully supplies liquefied natural gas or LNG worldwide. In the huge South Pars field in the Persian Gulf, the Qataris and Iranians extract natural gas, which is then converted into LNG and transported to many countries around the globe by gas carriers. It is worth noting that this small emirate owns a huge fleet of gas carriers and has no need to build expensive oil pipelines. By trying to turn back time, an intimate, small but proud Qatar, the Saudis are crossing all conceivable international laws. Riyadh has aggressively threatened to use force if Doha buys the S-400 anti-aircraft missile system from Moscow. But Qatari politicians firmly replied that all decisions regarding the purchase of weaponry are the sovereign right of the country. Qatari ambassador to Russia, Fahd bin Mohammed al-Attiyah, stressed that this blockade will not prevent Doha from expanding its cooperation with all the countries of the world. He added that Qatar continues to develop its economy and will stay open to the world, establishing new ties in the conditions of the ongoing blockade. In particular, the ambassador noted that the development of mutual relations with Russia, primarily in the field of investment. The ambassador said, "Our relations are moving in the right direction. This year we're celebrating the Russia-Qatar Cross Year of Culture. 42 events will be held. Russian citizens will be able to visit our emirate without a visa. And we hope that a similar decision will be taken with regards to Qatari citizens visiting Russia." Director General of the Al-Quds Arab Center for Political Studies, Oraib Rantawi, holds a similar opinion. Rantawi said, "Unfortunately, the crisis in the Persian Gulf affects the lives of ordinary people. It creates serious problems for businesses, for relations between families. But except for Kuwait, no one is offering serious initiative to solve the crisis." To this, we can only add that Qatar is simply too rich to agree to the requirements proposed by the Saudi coalition. Among the first to fall victim to the blockade was the Cooperation Council for the Arab States of the Persian Gulf. Format of cooperation. It remains unclear how it will function in the future, since Doha is not ready to go back to the previous level of cooperation with Riyadh, while Saudi Arabia will not tolerate Qatar's independence. New times have arrived. Having decided to take over the majority of the world market and push aside competitors, especially Russia, Saudi Arabia's perceived wise men drastically increased oil production, which led to the collapse in black gold prices from $120 to $45 a barrel. Once bathed in gold, the Saudis must now count their money to fill a large deficit of the royal budget. Only the Emir of Qatar does not experience such difficulties. Although the price of natural gas is tied to the price of oil, LNG does not depend on either. Of course, it is impossible to accurately calculate this Arabian country's riches, but apparently the small emirate is now wealthier than the unwise rulers of Saudi Arabia with their risky oil ventures. The end of the story came when Riyadh decided to demonstrate its strength and submit Doha to its will, believing that it can't be too difficult to handle such a small country. Two great Arabian friends, that is the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman Al Saud, and the Crown Prince of the Emirates of Abu Dhabi, Deputy Commander of the UAE Armed Forces, Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, decided to push their rival, the Emir of Qatar, Tamim ibn Hamad Al Thani, and a year ago announced severe sanctions against the Emirate, breaking off not only diplomatic contacts, but all contacts with Doha. By putting pressure on the other Arab states, the so-called Big Brothers forced them to participate in such provocations of Qatar. However, small but proud Qatar calmly coped with all of these hardships and did not succumb to pressure. And now, with the construction of the canal, we see new provocations which will completely alter the ecology of the north of the Arabian Peninsula. It's impossible to tell what political economic hardships this will bring to the region of the Persian Gulf, primarily to Saudi Arabia, whose current ruler, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman Al Saud, not only keeps failing in his endeavours, but is making one mistake after another on the international scene. Well, dear listeners, what you just heard was an article by Middle East expert Victor Michin. The article was written by Victor Michin for the online magazine New Eastern Outlook. Thanks for being with us.